According to the Associated Press and its survey of superdelegates, Hillary Clinton has clinched the Democratic presidential nomination. And that news last night did not sit well with Bernie Sanders or his supporters. We will talk about the split in the Democratic Party at this time, the Bernie or bust movement, and why so many progressives dislike Hillary Clinton. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 9 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Tuesday, June 7th. According to our guest, Hillary Clinton lacks street cred with today's progressives and often appears to lack faith in them. He will explain why he says the hate for Clinton may chiefly lie in her failure to secure universal health care in the early 90s. And we will welcome your thoughts and your questions. Are you a liberal who dislikes or hates Hillary Clinton? Why or why not? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Bill Scher, a contributing editor to Politico Magazine, a contributing editor to Real Clear Politics, and a senior writer at Campaign for America's Future. His recent piece, Why Does the Left Hate Hillary?, ran last week in Politico. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for being with us. Well, we'll get into more details as we go along, but first let's talk about the word hate. I'm assuming you probably didn't write the title, but is the relationship between Clinton and progressives really that bad, or was that just some sort of hyperbole?
Well, I wouldn't say across the board. There's plenty of people on the left who support Hillary. So you look at any exit poll, they ask you to describe yourself as a moderate, as somewhat liberal, or very liberal. Clinton does quite well amongst those who say somewhat liberal. And she gets some very liberal, too, though Bernie, of course, does better. So we want to be careful not to overly generalize. But there's no question that there is a faction of the left, definitely the faction that skews younger, who has been increasingly vociferously hostile towards her. They said they won't vote for her in the general election, whether that's true or not. That's what they say right now. You know, they call her a warmonger or a neoconservative or a tool of Wall Street. This is rougher language than she was suffering, I think, even in 2008, and that was a fairly bitter primary, too.
Yeah, so where does this come from, especially among younger people, that she's a tool of Wall Street and she's a warmonger? I mean, where's that coming from?
Well, the generation gap in the party, I think, is the story of 2016. And if you think about it, if you're over 45, you were introduced to the Clintons in 1992, when the Democratic Party was flat on its back and it seemed like nobody could win a presidential election. They actually won. They pulled the party out of the Carter-Mondale-Dukakis abyss. And if they had a lean right here and there to get there, well, that's just what you have to do to win elections. So they were much more understanding and accepting of that kind of political maneuvering since they won and got some things done once they got there. If you are under 30, not only were you not around at that time, but your first main political experience was the market crash of 2008 and perhaps the Iraq War shortly before that. So when you go back and try to find the origins of the market crash, you're led to Wall Street deregulation, which began with Bill Clinton. Well, he did that awful thing. What other awful things did the Clintons do? Oh, there's welfare reform. Oh, mass incarceration. Oh, NAFTA. So your introduction is inherently negative. And if an older voter says, well, you don't understand about the time it was like, and they did some other good things too, it wasn't all bad, that just doesn't compute, I think, with your average younger voters. That's where the big disconnect is.
Boy, and then how about Hillary Clinton trying but failing to get universal health care?
Well, that to me, and this is sort of the crux of the piece that I wrote, is the missing piece of her narrative as she tells it. You know, to the extent that your younger voter begins the story in 1999, Hillary, at the beginning of this race, in her reintroduction to voters, started in the 60s and 70s. Here's the civil rights activism that I did. I was in the South trying to integrate public schools. I worked with the Children's Defense Fund. Bill Clinton was on the stump talking about what you did in the 80s as his policy aide, as governor of Arkansas, how innovative and forward-thinking she was. And then she kind of glosses over the 90s. She never talks about any of it. But she doesn't go deep into the healthcare debacle, but which is a fascinating story because not only did she try to win this holy grail of progressive liberal objective first thing upon arriving in Washington, she tried to win that fight Bernie style. She lashed out at the corporate interests. She attacked the health industry and the drug lobby. She went around the country trying to rally the public. When the lobbyists tried to meet with her to kind of compromise, she ignored them. She would not meet with them, and she lost. So it's a tough story for her to tell because she lost. It wasn't a successful story. It brings up the images of someone who's power hungry, who's a tenured politician. And the moral of the story is not very inspirational. I tried to beat the corporate interest, and it didn't work out the way I wanted to, and so I had to think about how else to get things done in the world. So it's not that if she told the story, all the young Bernie supporters would say, oh, I get it now, I will vote for you. I don't think it's that simple. But I do think they might not be as inclined to assume that in her heart she is a corporatist, because her first impulse as First Lady was to do exactly what they would have wanted her to do.
You know, we have so many callers already. Let me go to Sheree in Waupun first. Hi, Sheree.
Hi, good morning. I was calling because I have a daughter who is 17, and I am a Hillary supporter, have been a Hillary supporter for a while, and I am in my 40s, so I kind of fit that little demographic he was speaking about earlier. But my daughter hates Hillary. I don't even know how. I think I have a clue as to how she got it between Facebook, because she is a Bernie supporter. And, you know, she's free to have that thought. You know, we didn't have a problem with that. But, you know, her hate for Hillary to me came out of nowhere almost, because while we certainly discussed Hillary in the household, you know, she always just kind of bristled at her. And I finally said to her, I said, honey, what's the problem? And I tried to explain some of the reasons, like, you know, when we talked about the welfare reform and things of that nature. But I also talked about the good things she did and how she started. And my daughter, she just shuts down. And I don't know if it came from just straight Bernie supporters or if it came from her going to a, you know, conservative school. You know, but I just don't know. And it's so hard to reach her with this. And I would say it's upsetting. I wouldn't go that far, but I guess I'm just concerned that she's shut down so quickly before she even really had a chance to, I feel, really investigate. I feel she was bombarded with just, you know, a lot of propaganda, and now it's almost impossible to turn her mind around to it.
Yeah. So she's a Bernie or Buster, Bill. What do you say to that?
Well, I can't really speak to the specific situation, but my sense is there's so much material online that you can seek out that can confirm your inherent biases. There's a whole echo chamber of stuff that gives, I would say, a very one-sided portrayal of her that tells the story of her from a very left perspective that ignores all the nuance, doesn't get into things that she did where her impulses were on the left, and treats her like a very two-dimensional conservative figure. And, you know, once you've bought into that, you know, once you've internalized that is what her core is, there's almost nothing you can say at that point that's going to convince her otherwise. I mean, that's why, you know, Georgia Lakoff wrote that book, Don't Think of an Elephant, always talked about facts bouncing off a frame. Once you have a frame of reference, no matter what fact you try to incorporate into it, if it doesn't fit the framework you have in your mind, you're not going to accept it. So that's where I think a lot of Bernie supporters are right now. Maybe that will change in the fall once too many people to binary choice between her and Donald Trump. But there's certainly a chance that some folks are going to be Bernie or bust. And that's only going to be a problem for Hillary if the race is close.
We have just a minute before a news break. A brief reaction to Dave on Facebook, who says Hillary may be disliked because she is not a progressive. Is Hillary Clinton a progressive or not?
I don't like to treat myself as the arbiter of what definitions mean. I mean, some people are going to have their own criteria, what they think is progressive, and they'll say, look, well, if she's for the death penalty, and if she doesn't want to ban fracking outright, and if she still believes in some forms of military intervention, and in my mind, she's not a progressive. It's not for me to say that your definition is right or wrong. But I think there is that split, largely generationally, not completely, where someone would say, look, if you're generally for progressive taxation, you're generally for government regulation, and even if you're for military intervention, it's not for crass, narrow nationalist interests, there's humanitarian elements to it, then I would still put you in the progressive category broadly. But other people have a much more...
Let me hold you there because we have news and then we'll be back. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Why does the left hate Hillary? We are discussing that question from the perspective of a contributing editor to Politico magazine who wrote a piece with that title. Bill Scher is our guest. He is also a contributing editor to Real Clear Politics and a senior writer at Campaign for America's Future. His recent piece, Why Does the Left Hate Hillary?, ran last week in Politico, and we have it posted on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. And we are welcoming your questions and reactions for him at 1-800-642-1234. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Are you someone on the left who dislikes or even hates Hillary Clinton? Why or why not? If you support Bernie Sanders for president, will you back Clinton in November? Why or why not? Bill, we asked you to talk about your piece, but last night the Associated Press reported that according to its survey of superdelegates, Hillary Clinton has clinched the Democratic presidential nomination, and Hillary Clinton wasn't actually very happy to see that news last night, but neither were Bernie Sanders or his supporters. What's your reaction to the AP survey news?
Well, you know, getting back to what we were talking about earlier, what would it take for a Bernie supporter who is angry with Hillary to come around by the fall? I think a big thing is trying to get those folks to believe that the game wasn't rigged, that you know, Bernie may have lost, but he lost fair and square, but the party's not trying to run these folks out, and they want everyone to come together, and they respect their votes, respect their views. So for the race to be considered over, thanks to superdelegates, which are the bane of the Bernie supporters' existence, that is the last way Hillary wanted to win. Everyone was assuming she would win when the polls in New Jersey closed at 8 o'clock. There was enough delegates there to put her over the top. The notion that maybe she called a few supers herself to rig it this way doesn't compute with me, because this is not her preference. I mean, the risk for her is that her supporters stay home today, and that helps Bernie win the big prize, California, which doesn't get him the nomination, but it really supercharges his entrance into the convention hall in July, where he can really try to extract a lot of concessions from the platform, make a case that he is the heart and soul of the party. Whereas if he lost California, I mean, I still think he would do some of those things, but his willingness to compromise, I think, would be greater.
Sonny on Facebook says, I certainly don't hate Hillary, and I feel she is more than qualified to do the job, but I hate that she was picked by the Democratic Party from the get-go. Sanders never had a chance, and that is unfair and un-American. Is that where some of this hate stems from?
Well, I think there is a lot of that. I think the system is unfair, but, Bernie has done better than almost any, quote-unquote insurgent candidate, going back to the beginning of the modern primary system, with the exception, arguably, of Barack Obama. Barack Obama, I think, wasn't seen as much as outside the establishment of the party as Bernie is. So there were debates. He did get media coverage. His people did win at least 20 states, and probably some more after today. They do have over 40% of the delegates, which is enough delegate strength to be able to force platform floor fights at the convention. So if this was a situation where, you know, the party controlled all, they would have controlled it a lot better than this. They would have made sure that Hillary had a perfectly genteel and orchestrated convention. Now Bernie has the strength to prevent that from happening. So I don't think this is the way that they would have, those who wanted Hillary to be the nominee, this is not how they would have planned it.
The Sanders campaign is calling the AP report and declaration that she's the nominee or the presumptive nominee a rush to judgment. And Sanders was saying that we'll see in July at the convention if the superdelegates are going to vote for her or not. Does he have a chance of the superdelegates going his way and clinching this nomination that way?
Well, we have examples of the runner-up winning big on the last day before this happened. Three times in a row in 76, 1980, 1984, where Jerry Brown won California in 76 and Ted Kennedy won California in 1980 and Gary Hart won California in 1984. And it wasn't a one-off. They won the majority of the states on that last day. And in 76, Carter's opposition was divided among several folks, so they couldn't really consolidate and make a big stand at the convention. But Ted Kennedy left his mark on the 1980 convention. He tried, it wasn't about supers back then, but he tried to say at the convention on the first day, let's unbind all the delegates. Let's have a vote at the convention. We'll change the rule, and the delegates can do whatever they want. And then in their heart of hearts, they really want me. And he couldn't get that done, but he still wowed the delegates with his concession speech that he got a lot of what he wanted in the platform and really squeezed Carter and embarrassed him and suggested he wasn't really in control of his own party. In 84, you had the supers. Gary Hart made almost the exact same case as Bernie. I poll better than Walter Mondale against Ronald Reagan. Gary Hart actually did better in the popular vote than Bernie did. He was only a couple points behind Walter Mondale in the popular vote. And he could argue that the whole party establishment was against me and that sort of thing. And he took it to the convention, and he begged the supers to flip. He tried to get Jesse Jackson's delegates to come over. Could not get anywhere. So there's not a lot of evidence that supers are willing to buck the pledged delegate vote winner at the end of the day. As much as they're talked about as this inherently anti-democratic thing, they always go along with the pledged delegate winner. I mean, there have to be an extremely dangerous scenario if there was a massive scandal dragging down the nominee and they're losing by 15 points, then maybe you'd see something like that. But that's not what's going on here right now.
We're also hearing reports in the media that President Obama is eager to endorse Hillary Clinton, and that endorsement could come this week, presumably after the primaries today. So how is that going to play into the race?
Well, it's definitely a squeeze play. I mean, they want the convention to go as nicely as possible. They don't want to have Bernie be able to put things on the floor that will be inherently divisive, make a big spectacle, make it harder to unify, and make it more likely for supporters to feel like they got their hand at a raw deal. Now, the Hillary side can overplay their hand. If they feel like Bernie's getting pushed around and supporters not being respected, that could certainly backfire and cause the problems that they're trying to avoid. Clearly, I think by having Obama come out and endorse, assuming that that's what's going to happen, they're trying to, at minimum, take the oxygen out of the argument that there's any chance for Bernie to get the nomination and focus the discussion on the platform. Because I'm sure that the Hillary forces are willing to put the difference with Bernie on a whole lot of things on the platform, and they want to get those conversations started as early as possible so the convention itself is not chaos.
Saw some Facebook posts from Bernie Sanders supporters last night and this morning, furious with the AP and NBC, which first broke this news of this AP survey of superdelegates and naming Hillary Clinton the winner of the Democratic nomination based on that, saying that the media are in the pocket of the Clinton campaign. As somebody who does stuff for the media, what do you think of that?
Well, this exact same thing happened in 2008. As soon as the polls closed in South Dakota, they called, before even the votes came in South Dakota, the last two states that were South Dakota and Montana, they said, Barack Obama is the presumptive nominee. We can project based on what would inevitably happen in the races and the superdelegate surveys that we've already conducted, you know, Barack Obama didn't clear the majority mark on pledge limits alone. He needed the super sit to bring him over. Now, what they say is that he is the presumptive nominee. They don't say he's the official nominee. Yeah. And the same thing with Hillary Clinton today. What the media is saying, this is largely coming out of the Associated Press. The Associated Press calls the supers every day. They're not in the pocket of a campaign. They want the story first. Journalists want the story first. So they call and call and call and call, hope that they can get it first. And then when they got the numbers in hand, they say, we got the scoop. Here's the story. This is what the story is. This is based on our calls with supers. We're not saying that weird things might happen between now and then that would change things, but this is the information that we have in our hands, and it's our journalistic obligation to give it to our readers.
Yeah, and one more on this story before we move on to other callers on your piece. The Hillary supporters are calling Bernie Sanders and his supporters hypocrites in that back in 2008 when Barack Obama was named the presumptive nominee that Sanders endorsed Obama and didn't wait until the superdelegates cast their votes at the convention.
Yeah, he said that on June 5th of 2008, and Hillary conceded on June 7th. So there was a two-day window there where Bernie was accepting of the superdelegate count. And of course, earlier in the race, he was saying things like superdelegates are inherently bad. He still says their numbers should be reduced. He argues that they should have to follow the votes of their states and not deny him state majorities where he won. But now he's in a position where, since he is the pledged delegate loser and will still be the case after today by what happens in California and elsewhere, he's stuck having to make the opposite argument because he needs the supers. If he was actually to get the nomination, he'd have to have the supers overturn the pledged delegate count and the popular vote count. So I think he's a bit caught in his rhetoric there. And that happens in campaigns. I don't think it means he's, you know, the worst person on the planet. I mean, you can call lots of people hypocrites in politics. That's kind of par for the course. He's saying what he thinks he needs to do to make the campaign continue to seem viable so people show up and vote, and he can get more delegates and have more leverage at the convention. That's what he wants to do.
Our guest is Bill Scheer, contributing editor to Politico magazine. He is also a senior writer at Campaign for America's Future and a contributing editor to Real Clear Politics. We are talking with him about recent developments in the presidential race, but also about his recent piece, Why Does the Left Hate Hillary? 1-800-642-1234. If you have a question or a view on this, are you a progressive who hates Hillary Clinton? Why is that? Or why isn't that? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. And you have a reaction to Hillary Clinton being named the presumptive Democratic presidential nominee by the Associated Press last night. So let's go back to the phones. Dylan in La Crosse is with us. Hi, Dylan.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, go ahead, Dylan.
Say, I am a progressive, and I do hate Hillary Clinton. The reason why is because I think most of us can agree the definition of a progressive is someone who stands up and fights for the issues on the front lines, not someone who comes late to the party and sells victory after we've already won, like Hillary Clinton has done so many times in the past.
All right. Well, Dylan, I appreciate that viewpoint. Let me ask you, are you then, if she indeed does win the Democratic presidential nomination, are you going to not vote? Are you going to vote for somebody other than Hillary Clinton because of your feelings toward her?
I will cast my vote for Bernie Sanders because it's a vote that I believe in and I can cast without any regrets.
Meaning
even
you'll write him in.
I have to write him in.
Yeah. All right. So, Bill, how about that? That the definition of progressive in that Hillary Clinton came late to the party.
Well, I'm not sure what specific issues he's talking about, but as far as, you know, generally speaking, you know, where she's been in the last, you know, last 15 years, you know, post the health in the healthcare fight in '93, I don't think you could say that. You know, since then, you know, certainly her pragmatist side has been more dominant. You know, she's not rallying the country for the most ambitious planks. She's not pushing Medicare for all. She's not pushing a flat ban on fracking. She's not talking about $50 minimum wage. So your minimum wage is sort of an interesting example where, you know, 2 years ago, when Barack Obama was for a $10.10 minimum wage, you know, it's currently $7.25. Even that would be a pretty big jump. Pretty much every Democrat in Washington got behind that. Even Bernie Sanders, who technically wasn't a Democrat at that point. Soon after that, the union-led Fight for 15 movement kind of took off, and Seattle pushed the $15 minimum wage locally there. And so those goalposts moved. And Bernie, you know, got in front of that parade and pushed 15 very hard. A couple of senators on the Democratic side had a bill for $12, which went ahead of Obama and still pretty ambitious compared to $7.25. Hillary got on that train. And so Bernie looks like he's pushing the envelope farther than she is, and she's looking like she's trying to play catch up. So I think that kind of dynamic, I assume, is what he's referring to. And that comes down to a level of trust. Hey, is she going to lead or is she going to follow? I think if you have that inclination, that kind of example is going to lead you to think she's not a true blue progressive.
So how many, just talk some about the feeling that Dylan has is that he's going to write in Bernie Sanders if need be. He will not vote for Hillary Clinton. And the that feeling of, maybe what about helping Donald Trump doing that?
If you have internalized that she is as bad or worse than Donald Trump or only marginally better, you believe she is the symbol of all that is wrong in politics. She is the intersection of corporate influence and government, and nothing will change if she is in there. It's pretty easy to say, I don't care if Trump gets it. And it's even easier if you're in a state that's not considered a swing state and you don't think it's going to be close. You know, that level of pressure being put on you by your friends and neighbors. Right now in polls, it seems that about 20 to 25% of Bernie supporters are saying they won't vote for her in the general. He's got about 10 million votes so far in the primary, so that translates to about 2.5 million votes. That's about what Ralph Nader got in 2000. And if you're talking generation gap, if you're under 30 years old, you weren't around for 2000. That doesn't necessarily bring back that political post-traumatic stress disorder that the older Democrats have, as you mentioned, Ralph Nader. That race was extraordinarily close. And in most states, Ralph Nader's vote total didn't make a difference at all. It was only in Florida and New Hampshire. And even if you could argue Florida was counted correctly, it wouldn't have made a difference in Florida. So it has to be really tight for even, 2 million is a lot. But if Hillary's beating Trump by 5 points, that wouldn't be enough to make a difference because, the voter pool is about 130 million people. So it's going to depend how those polls look in October. If it's looking pretty comfortable, I think a lot of people who are inclined to abandon Hillary will feel comfortable doing so. If it gets tighter, there's going to be a lot of banging on people's doors and texts and phone calls saying, please, 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 don't ruin this for us.
Paul in Menominee Falls is with us. Hello, Paul.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Another great show. I feel and I have felt all along that this narrative that the left hates Hillary and that she is untrustworthy is a narrative that's been perpetuated by the right since the early 90s. They've seen her as a threat. They continue to see her as a threat. Bernie hasn't taken any real scrutiny from Clinton. She doesn't want to ostracize his voters. And the right hasn't really scrutinized Bernie because they are so threatened by Hillary. And Hillary is extremely nuanced. She's so well-versed in all of the areas. She's been steadfast, and she's a fantastic candidate and so strongly disliked by the right, but I don't think that people on the left hate her.
All right, thanks, Paul. I'm going to get our guest, Bill Scheer, to respond to that comment and your thoughts on that after we check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio, and we'll take more of your calls at 1-800-642-1234. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, talking with Bill Scheer, who is a contributing editor to Politico magazine, about his recent piece, Why Does the Left Hate Hillary, which ran last week in Politico, and we have posted on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We are welcoming your answer to that question or your challenge to that question. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. And Bill, we had a caller just before our news break who said that he thought that the narrative that the left hates Hillary is really coming from the right, because the right knows that Hillary is a strong candidate. What is this narrative coming from the right?
I wouldn't go that far. There are examples of conservative operations that ran ads attacking Hillary for her ties to Wall Street, hoping to stir discontent on the left. So there's definitely been attempts there. But I don't know if people on the left to know that they sort of have internalized that argument, so I would not prefer to put all on that. But his point that she is a threat, I mean, this goes back to the healthcare debate. She put herself on the line. She put her entire reputation on the line. She put her husband's presidency on the line to do something that made the health insurance lobby and the drug lobby unhappy. And she suffered greatly for the risk that she took. And you can argue that Bernie Sanders has never put himself in that kind of position. It's easy to articulate the most ideologically pure proposals that don't have a chance of going anywhere. You don't get that same level of ire from the Koch brothers, from the Karl Roves of the world. They leave you alone more. And if he got closer to the White House, that dynamic would change very quickly. So it's that aspect of her story which she has not really told, because she doesn't want to get into the gory details of 1993 and 1994. She sometimes says things that allude to it, but if you weren't there, I think she has said, I have the scars to prove it, talking about taking out the health insurance lobby. But if you weren't there and don't really know the story, that line just goes in one ear and out the other. Because at the same time, she does work with corporations on a number of things, as has Barack Obama, as has Lyndon Johnson, as did FDR, as did Teddy Roosevelt, as did Woodrow Wilson. There's actually a long history of that on the left that isn't talked about a lot because it gets to all the messy aspects of compromise that aren't inspiring to a lot of folks on the left.
Yeah, Bernie Sanders has frequently made the point that in polls he wins over Donald Trump by a larger margin than Hillary Clinton would, and says that's why he should be the nominee. Was our caller correct in saying that's because the right has not targeted, set its lasers on Bernie Sanders yet?
Well, it's an unknown. Bernie makes the case, I poll better than she does by a lot in most polls. It's very close between her and Trump right now. You're taking a big risk going with her. But Hillary's in the live fire situation right now. She's been taking the hits from the right, not just this year, not just last year, but for 20 years.
Yeah.
You could argue that makes her inherently weak, and you should have someone with a clean slate to go up against Donald Trump. But you just don't know how Bernie holds up in a live fire simulation, because he didn't get close enough for that to occur. Barack Obama, since he actually got ahead of Hillary, he started getting those hits. The Jeremiah Wright thing landed on him in the middle of the primary, so you got to see how he handled it, and the way he handled it reassured Democrats, so they didn't abandon him at that point. Bernie just didn't get quite close enough to get get the experience of having all the bricks rain down on your head to show how he would handle the situation.
Let's take more calls. Mike in Madison is next. Hello, Mike.
Good morning. I'd like to preface my statement saying I fall in your guest area of age there. I'm 44, and I've watched the Clintons since I was a little kid. I was very politically active long before Bill Clinton was in office, and I personally don't hold anything against Hillary for anything Bill has done, nor Whitewater, nor the Benghazi email scam. I hold nothing against that for Hillary. She's a very smart woman, but I completely disagree with her political views. I don't like the fact that she voted for the war on several occasions. I don't like the fact that she voted to keep the Patriot Act going, which is just borderline unconstitutional. And I don't like the fact that most of her her policies on our workforce, there's been too many jobs sold overseas between the Clinton administration to current time, And I don't think that she has done anything about that. Now, hate is a big word. I certainly don't hate Hillary. Once again, she's a very, very smart woman. But as far as politics go, her generation, the baby boomers, the generation that watched Vietnam and Korea happen, they all these lessons that they should have learned, all these lessons they tried to teach us children to know better are all the things that she's currently repeating improperly and wrongly. So she doesn't get my vote. And on a second note, if she truly wanted to unite the Democratic Party, she would be talking about possibly having Bernie as a running mate. It's going to be the only way they're going to defeat Trump. But unfortunately, in the way that her politics and the Democratic Party's politics are going, they're going to pick a candidate that's going to be very similar to Trump to try and gain something away from Trump instead of using the candidate that's right there that already has all the votes that she needs.
Thank you, Mike. A couple of big points there. Bill, I guess first, what about the likelihood or the possibility that Hillary Clinton would or would not pick Bernie Sanders as her running mate?
I don't think she'll pick Bernie. There's a lot of buzz about Elizabeth Warren. I'm skeptical that will happen, too. Those are the two obvious things you might do to get Bernie voters to stay on board. I think in both of those cases, you know, Hillary will be reluctant to have someone as VP who she can't trust to be a reliable surrogate of her message. She doesn't want someone who's going to go off on their own when she's trying to do something, some sort of compromise that some of the left might not like. And from their perspective, I think they have more influence as independent operators with their own power bases who don't have to sublimate that to Hillary's position. So I don't think they have the incentive to come on board either. But to his point, I do think she needs a running mate that appeals to Bernie Sanders voters. I think the options there are very limited. Many senators in swing states, for example, voted for Fast Track, which was supposed to expedite the Trans-Pacific Partnership Trade Agreement, which anyone who voted for that is not going to be, Bernie voters won't be impressed by that. I actually wrote a piece about this for Politico a few months back that got some attention because I made the case that the one person who actually fits the bill who bridges the gap between the Hillary side and the Bernie side is Senator Al Franken, you know, your neighbor in Minnesota, which you might not take seriously in a normal election, but against Donald Trump, I'd argue he makes a lot more sense.
And I guess a caller who says, I don't hate Hillary Clinton, but was totally against her positions on especially war and the Patriot Act and that sort of thing.
Well, we didn't get to hear from him whether he was a Bernie or bust voter or not, but I suspect someone with that nuanced take on Hillary, I don't hate her, I just disagree with her views. I remember the 90s, I know what she went through. My guess is most voters like that would vote for her vis-a-vis Trump in the general, even if they don't love her policies in a lot of areas. When that level of hatred is not there, it's easier to come over come November.
Well, help us understand. Then Senator Joe Biden voted for the Iraq War, as did and President Obama and Senator Elizabeth Warren both raised money from Wall Street. What's the difference between those three and Clinton?
Well, Joe Biden voted for the war. John Kerry voted for the war, and he's Secretary of State now. He didn't get the same level of antagonism when it comes to that. Even Bernie Sanders, you could say, you know, people attack Hillary for being close to the Goldman Sachs CEO, Lloyd Blankfein, or to Henry Kissinger. Well, Bernie Sanders top aide is Tad Devine, who was the star of this anti-neoliberal documentary called Our Brand in Crisis. His quote made the name of the movie about his work in Latin America trying to elect, you know, more conservative candidates there. You know, Bernie doesn't get dinged for that. And that's because Bernie has taken so many other positions to attest to his progressive bona fides that you forgive a little indiscretion here and there. You know, Joe Biden, he voted for the Iraq War, but he's widely seen as the dovish voice in internal White House debates. Elizabeth Warren, she might have taken some Wall Street money, but you know she wants to restore Glass-Steagall from the FDR days, so you forgive her for that. Hillary hasn't really had that much of a chance or will, depending on your perspective, to prove herself in recent years. When she was senator, it was all during the Bush years. So where was the opportunity to pass progressive legislation? When she was Secretary of State, you know, she got the ball rolling on the Iran peace deal, but she didn't seal the deal. And the things that she did do, like the Libya intervention, you know, you could argue, as she does, that was important to prevent a genocide. But the results so far are at best inconclusive, so you can't really parade around as an example of how you were doing a humanitarian thing. So she doesn't have that liberal quiver in her cap in her recent career to mitigate the bad feelings people have about the Iraq vote and other things that she's done.
Yeah. Kathy in West Bend, almost out of time, but want to give you a shot. Go ahead.
Okay, as a baby boomer at the end of the spectrum there, I might end up holding my nose and voting for Hillary. I will definitely not campaign for the woman or do any kind of volunteer work. And she is maybe the lesser of two evils in terms of Trump versus her, but the lesser of two evils, as they say, is still evil. I do not like her foreign policy. I do not like her acts with regard to the bankruptcy laws. And there are, I can keep on going, but
And we don't have time to keep on going, but thank you for calling. Bill, we have just about a minute or so to go. How is Hillary Clinton going to woo Bernie supporters, in addition to Kathy, to vote for her in November?
Well, she needs that convention to give the message that she respects the Bernie vote. She wants them in the party. She said that they will have a voice at the table. But as she's doing that, she also wants to woo those disaffected Republicans who are unhappy about Trump. So she's walking a very narrow line to pull together a very big tent. And the best thing going for her is that Donald Trump will be seen as anathema to so many Americans. But there's a risk still that she will lose that left flank, or at least a piece of it, come November.
Thank you so much for being with us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Bill Scheer, contributing editor to Politico Magazine, contributing editor to Real Clear Politics, and a senior writer at Campaign for America's Future. His recent piece, Why Does the Left Hate Hillary, ran last week in Politico. Thanks to producers Bill Martins, to Brianne Shasso, and Nyasia Ellison for producing this program. Thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. I hope you join us also tonight at 7 for NPR's special election coverage. Coverage of the New Jersey, Montana, South Dakota, North Dakota, New Mexico, and California primaries starting tonight at 7 on Wisconsin Public Radio. And we will follow up on the results tomorrow morning during our big question segment, between 7 and 8 tomorrow morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.